Good evening, you yogis. Nice to see you. Nice to meditate with you. So I have on my screen, it says, let's get real. You know, and I think, wow, let's get real. Well, this is what I know from what little I know of the Buddhist practice is what's really real can't be spoken. And it can only be experienced. So when we put what's real under the umbrella of the truth or what the Buddha found out, it's a whole nother universe. And we start touching the real, comes from wisdom or the truth. And that's what we're after. And so we contemplate. And I thought, well, you know, I use that word a lot in the readings, the teachings, contemplate. And, you know, we have to really slow down to contemplate anything. And, of course, that's not easy for any of us. And it's difficult. But to fully incorporate the Dharma, that's what we need to do. We need to step on the brakes and embody the truth. Because the Dharma is not fast food, and it's slow food. And it takes a lot of patience and commitment. But a little at a time, that's what I have found in my own practice. And each time I'm encouraged by finding within my own little personal practice, things happen to be true that I have heard and even done some contemplation with. So the Dharma, it's to be ingested, it's to be digested. It's a process that teachings properly, we have to take our time and chew on it. You know, because some of these things that we hear in the teachings, it just seems so far out. It's just hard for the rational mind, especially the Western rational mind, to get its arm around. So we have to take our time and chew on things. And so there's three prajnas, our wisdom tools, that will help us. And I like to stress this because there's more to this practice than just sitting, even though that's the main ingredient, especially at the beginning. So hearing, contemplating, and meditating, you've got it all. And those three, most conducive to internalize wisdom. Hearing it, contemplating, reflecting, and meditating. So that's what we're doing to facilitate our practice and what we really want to know that enables and keeps us going in the right direction. So when we're hearing or reading the teachings, it's where the process begins. It's our first bite. And meditating is when we all, when we sit with what we have heard and reprocess the teachings. So sometimes eager participants, and I have been one of those, often race from a Dharma talk or a lesson or a retreat or, you know, all this spiritual things we do. Can't wait to get to the meditation cushion to begin the real spiritual practice. And so we end up not necessarily, well, that's not our intention, of skipping and rushing through the crucial intermediate step of contemplating. And I know you've practiced this, you know, because we've talked about it, and you have enough, certainly enough body of information that as you going through your daily life, you're noticing and you're allowing. And then the contemplation can come up anytime. But sometimes when we're sitting. So if we don't give ourselves time to properly chew on and digest the teachings, we won't fully absorb the wisdom. We say, well, okay, but I've been practicing and, you know, I've done this, 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 and this. Well, any time that we have those kinds of thoughts about a practice, then we're off the mark. Because without these processes and relying on them, instead of getting the spiritual nourishment, we'll end up with intellectual bloated. It makes me laugh. Well, it's what our teachers noticed with time. You've heard it called spiritual bypass. We want to be spiritual. And so we concoct, conceptualize what spirituality is. But actually, the spirit comes from reigning on life, from recognizing, allowing, investigating, and seeing what happens as a result of just those things. So we don't want to be too full of ourselves, and we don't want to be too full of, you know, one way of how we learn how to meditate, because there's a great array of ways to do that. And we know that. And thank goodness Joseph wrote the One Dharma, because he spread it even further out for us to Zen, Tibetan, Theravadan. They all go into the same place. They're all bona fide. But what separates them is just what's just focus, what we focus on. And meditation is what this particular Theravadan tradition focuses on. So contemplating what the Buddha teaches about the mind, mindfulness of the body, and we've talked about this so much, but why not? I mean, this is from where it all begins and ends. So our body study supports our efforts of viewing the body as its true nature. Really, that's the secret to all the truth, is finding the true nature of it all. And all the phenomena does have a true nature. We just don't know because we've just conceptualized them and kept them in a box. So our relationship with the body and the feelings and the mind, it supports the right effort to distinguish our concepts of the body versus the hard factual scientific information of what we're made of. So there's a variety of perceptions, of course, that we can view the body. But to conceptualize it also limits us. And so that's why the Buddha says, all right, let's go just a little deeper. Just a little deeper. And in this one perspective where we see ourselves, we can go deeper because of science. You know, get ourselves under a microscope. We don't look like this. I mean, it's a whole another universe. So why is it important to know the truth of the nature of the body? Because the Buddha promises it directly leads us not only to the truth, but to the happiness. Doesn't sound right, does it? I mean, what can just hearing something? Well, we're not hearing just anything. We are hearing ancient teachings that have been tried and true for many, many years in a variety of cultures. Finally, it's come to the West. I mean, when you think, how did that happen? Well, I kind of know with my lineage exactly how it happened. But bringing truthful information to any aspect of life helps to free us. Don't you love it when someone can make a mistake or do it wrong and just be honest about it? You know, that we're not so ego-driven that we can't be wrong or we can't make a mistake or we can't be fully human. Because that's what's real. We make mistakes. And that is the truth. That is what will free us. Because attaching our ego to mistakes hurt a lot. Makes us miserable. We hang on to it. We do all kinds of things with it. So what we have here, really, we're getting way out there, is we've been mostly living in concepts. So it's important what we know about concepts. And we know that it comes from the mind. And that anything, again, this is deep wisdom. Anytime that the mind is not wise, it makes things up. So we think about that all the time. We contemplate. We hear it. We hear it. You can't hear it too much. And so why not? And the Buddha says with the four elements, that's just one of many ways in which he had found that shakes our trance of concepts. It's not like we have to see it. It's just that we have to understand that that's the possibility. So that when we do happen to see it, you know, wake up to it, we're not going to be surprised. But the earth, the water, the fire, the air returns. So connecting to what's real, Earth, that's our body. Water, think of all the liquids we have in our body, tears, saliva. Fire relates to the many times that our ranges of temperatures, like a hot flash in the middle of the night. Oh, that's the element of, that's an element. Or the air in which we breathe. And so somehow we have to be convinced that this is useful. But another thing is it may not be. So we open ourselves to that possibility too. That's why we have so many ways that we can choose to see, is it helpful? And it's just enough to know that that we are these elements. You know, we don't have to go into having a science class. But really the gist of the practice is simply about no longer taking our bodies so personally. That's one of the teachings. Maybe it loosens it a bit. And, you know, the elements aren't something we can control or own any more than anything else that we live with. But what we want to do is to know what happens when we begin to acknowledge and experience the body as just the elements. Is that possible? Well, I mean, in bringing it into our practice, I know, Carlos, you were saying the guided meditation with scanning the body, all of a sudden, it was a whole nother process. It seemed deeper, and I felt the same way. So, you know, that's why we're talking about things like this, and we begin to lose these concepts. We live with them, they're okay, we don't want to get dogmatic about them, but we do want to know the difference, because then that frees us, and viewing our bodies more realistically can support that area, that effort. And so, it leads us to start looking around, and if it's true that it's all earth, water, fire, and air, I mean, we can look around and see it, you know, see it all the time. And so we realize that all of it, the entire universe, is just one continuous manifestations that's happening so fast, faster than fast. There's no way the rational mind knows what's going on, because it can't grok it at all. And that's what the Buddha knew, that there's a deeper wisdom, or I wouldn't say that was wisdom, but there is wisdom. Because why? Well, we're a nature package. When we separate from the Mother Earth, then that's exactly what's happening. We're separating. And as a result, we're trying to create our own nature, and it doesn't work. It makes us miserable. So also it helps us, and you know that the teachings say, we're not these bodies anyway. And they're not true in the sense that they're not going to stay around. and they're changing constantly, just like everything else. So any way that we can remind ourselves by contemplating these very deep wisdom that sounds so trivial, becomes so helpful when we open to it and try it experientially. So, let's see. And so it brings up that wonderful theory of relativity, that matter, and all of a sudden, okay, matter, what's matter? Okay, we're all made of matter. You know, okay, there you go, a little bit of shift of consciousness or a little shift of, you know, perception. And together with energy forms the basis of everything. Now, sometimes I feel like in an elementary science class, and I'm getting all excited about this phenomena. But it can't be created, and it can't be destroyed, but it can be transformed. You know, we've seen transformations all through our lifetimes. Usually not understanding it and pushing against it. But the body is going to drop. So what we're interested in is, who am I without the body? What is there without the mind and body? And so this practice leads us in that direction. And we'll all go, it'll be the truth is the truth is the truth, but our path to that truth is very personal. And that's what keeps us from being dogmatic. It keeps it from being spacious and allowing everything to change constantly, because it's happening anyway. So we're just joining the forces of nature. And it's such a relief at times. So Buddha was really just an early scientist. And that's the way he taught. He could see things that we need technical instruments to see. He saw it. So scientifically, we are earth, water, fire, and air. And really and true, there is no person. There is no self. If that's useful, good. If it's not, throw it away. Okay? All right, I'll stop there.